Bless you. Thank you. As you can hear, as he introduced me, I'm a Americaner de Vries. Not going to find very many people like me around in South Africa, but nevertheless, if you come to America, I can tell you, you will find many de Vrieses in America as well. I promise you that, a lot of them. Anyway, we came here this morning for 4 R's. I want to share with you very briefly. Life is real, R number one. Life is real. So let's get real in this meeting, amen? Let's get real. Number two, we all need to be renewed. We need to be renewed in our faith. We need to be renewed in our minds. We need renewal. Thirdly, we need to be restored. We're going to touch down on that in a powerful way today in this meeting. It's going to be tough because restoration is never an easy job. Restoration is there. Reconciliation is another part. But it's all combining together for this one thing, that we need to walk in a fifth R, which is relationship. And so from out of what we're going to be sharing this morning and this evening, what we would like to see and what is going to be partaken of this afternoon, what we would like to see is some further enhancing and growth of relationships in a very, very clear and unmistakable way. Some of the things we're going to have to say this morning are not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy on me. It's not going to be easy on my wife. But nevertheless, there's a distinct possibility as well that maybe some questions are going to arise. We're not going to be afraid to handle that as well. So with that in mind, I'm going to hand over to some things that my wife has prepared, and then we're going to kind of team instruct or team share from our hearts as we have gathered here together today.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's such an awesome privilege to be here, and I'm so excited that my best friend is here too, and thank you for being here, friend. Right. You know that the Lord never intended for us to be alone. Okay? When Jesus was on earth, he wasn't alone. He had his Father. He withdrew sometimes from his disciples, but he was never alone. And God never intended for us to be alone. And when he created the earth, it was amazing because every time he said, and it was good, and it was good. And when he created Adam, it says he looked and he thought, it's not so good. Why? Because Adam was alone. And after he created Eve, it says, and it was very good. So God never intended for us to be alone. But you know, relationships, I'm going to kind of reverse the order, yeah? Relationships are difficult. Relationships take work. It doesn't matter which relationship you're in. But the one thing is, God has never given up on us. And we can't start giving up on one another. And unfortunately, sin brought broken relationships in the earth. Through sin, death entered the earth, and so many of us have lost loved ones. And through sin, broken relationships in marriages, divorce, the ugly D word, has come to become a very real thing. Okay? And do you know that divorce doesn't only take place between husband and wives? Some kids divorce their parents. That's truth. I mean, they actually go to court and divorce their parents because there's such brokenness. And it all stems from hurt and brokenness. And if we don't deal with that monster, it grows and it affects us. It affects us for life. Just read a story about a mother who was abused as a child by her mother. And she said she'll never, ever raise her children in an abusive situation. Well, she repeated the cycle, and her son became so bitter against her. And late in life, her son committed his life to the Lord, and the mother did, and the one pastor tried to bring them together, do you know that they couldn't forgive one another? And that is very sad, because God makes it very clear, if we can't forgive one another on earth, we can't be forgiven. And I really never want to be in that situation where I can't be forgiven. So, you know, kids know what's going on. So don't try and fool them. Be honest with them. Be open with them. You can have intense fellowship. That's a good word for a fight behind closed doors. And you have your intense fellowship, and you come out and you smile at your kids. No, they know you had intense fellowship.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let them understand what it's about, but let them also see the reconciliation between the two of you after your intense fellowship, or between friends, or between you and your kids. You're going to have intense fellowship, but that peace afterwards. And I'm going to hand over to Philip from there.
You can never, how can I, let me put this very carefully. When you're in a real relationship, don't try to set up yourself so that you can argue yourself out of anything. Just get ready to have a nice little blow up and then reconcile. And then it all gets sorted out. But I can tell you, there's another condition that comes into play when it comes to divorce as well. And I wanted to just tag on to what Morena said. Children are going to pick up on what's going on in your household in a big way if there are children around. But let me tell you something. Divorce is not a certificate. Divorce is not a certificate. It's a condition. Divorce is a condition. It's something that is working itself out through two individuals that are somehow not in communication in a proper way. So what's happening is that divorce is a constant kind of a condition that is being worked at, where walls are being separated, and the only way that can turn around is to get into a place where there is pure communication, which the Bible talks about frequently, that sort of a thing. But having said that, I want to just read something to you, because years ago, my wife and I, we back in the United States in the 90s, we started doing something called Second Chances for Marriages. But I want to get a little 3D with you, because when we start talking about Second Chances for Marriages, we must also be in a place where we understand that many people have walked through some very devastating experiences and very painful separations. I was one of those. I'm going to get a little real here now, because this led to a feeling of total failure, and it also forced me to leave a certain amount of ministry and a certain life that I once led. This breakup that happened in my marriage many, many years ago, we knew from the beginning that there was a disastrous situation that was working itself. In that when a person is told by your parents, pasop. Yeah? Pasop. You know, you're getting engaged in something, but you're not willing to listen to your parents. And so when you hear your parents saying certain things, I can tell everybody here, listen to your folks, because they can pick up on what's going on oftentimes. But having spoken that, after 16 years of marriage, and going through consecutive counseling, I saw my marriage fall apart. But out of this marriage, there were two children that were there. So when I look at my little lady sitting here on my right, whose name is Morena, we have now been married for 31 years, come next month. Next month, 31 years. Her mom and dad Her mom and dad, this past Saturday, were married for 67 years. 67 years. I can tell you something about that marriage. They know how to talk to each other. They know how to share with one another. I also know something else. They know how to fight with each other. And they do it legally. They know how, because they've had many years of experience of working through certain things. Let me tell you that. But having been engaged also in a marriage prior to the two of us being married, it was an abusive situation. And I'm saying that straight from my heart, because I saw it firsthand. There was a lot of abuse that was going on. But nevertheless, shortly after we had gotten married, my wife and I, her first husband was involved in a remarriage, and shortly thereafter he was killed in an accident. As you can hear from my wife, she is a South African, and then she was also, after we got married, was raising two children as a single parent. Shortly thereafter, my eldest daughter came and lived with us for a year after we got married, or a year after we got married, and she was also having conflict with her mother. And so we were requested to take custody of her, and she lived with us for another 11 years, after which she also got married. Here's a principle that I want to share with you. Moraine and I made a commitment that where we were not transparent to each other, we would deliberately become vulnerable to each other. So where you do not see through each other, you deliberately open up your life to show where your weaknesses are at. Because the Bible says, having your loins girt about with truth. See, what Morena was talking about a little bit earlier is that there is a difficulty in many marriages where there's this falsity, there's this sham of a relationship, there's unwillingness to tell the truth to each other and to find out what the truth really is. We also found that in our marriage, we had to come into a place of forgiveness. We also went through the feelings of self-condemnation. But God is in the business of love, acceptance, and forgiveness. Can the church say amen?
Amen?
Love, acceptance, and forgiveness. And if any of you want to read a book, it's a very powerful one by Jerry Cook, and it's called Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness. But there are many people around that say once divorced and remarried, there is no restoration. I'm prepared to say that God is very patient with us. God is also capable of bringing us into a place where we can be restored. We can be, because God is in the business of restoration. But he calls upon us for another R to come into play, and that R is called repentance. Amen. Repentance is what it's all about. The Lord has blessed us over the years with a wonderful family. It's kind of like a yours, mine, and ours kind of a scenario. Merlani and Marissa became Merlani and Marissa DeVries because that was their choice. Tyann and Tim DeVries stayed DeVries until Tyann became a Saxman. Then we had Timothy John DeVries. No, we didn't have Timothy John. We had Johannes Philip Folkert DeVries. That's ours. Yeah, Pia F. DeVries. Can I tell you something? Don't call him J.P.F. DeVries. He just wants to be called John.
Poor child. We really did it there.
We really, really did it. If he could change his name, I'm sure he would. Nevertheless, I just wanted to explain that because that's a little bit of our backdrop when it comes to restoration. I'm sure my wife has got something more to share.
Just going on to that, give you a bit of background on, relationships. There's an acronym DEAD, okay? D-E-A-D. Okay. So in relationships, what undermines, what brings relationships to where they're at? Parents to kids, in one with husband and wife, wherever. First one is disrespect. And disrespect leads to dishonor. And the Bible is so full of honor. Honor those who are in authority over you. Honor your parents. Honor, honor, honor. And when we start not walking in what God says, it breaks down. So that's the first D in dead. The other one is expectations, false expectations. We place people on pedestals. We place our spouses on pedestals, and then they don't live up to our expectations, and boom, bang, love walks out the door. And, love should not be based on that, because that's also a human being. Let's see one another as we really are real, with our faults, with our goods, with our bads, and the expectations must be according to God's word, not according to our expectations. You know, we watch movies and you think, ooh, I can live like that. And it ain't like that. The real world is not like that. It's not what we see on the screen. The other one, the A, is attention to communication. Wow, our biggest breakdown is communication. We don't communicate right. We don't communicate at all. We communicate with the wrong spirit, and all that leads to death in a relationship. The last D that I just wanted to say is downright neglect. We neglect one another. We neglect our relationships. We neglect talking to one another. We neglect talking to our children. Moms, dads, talk to your children. They need it. Let them know that they're important. Let them know that they're special. And if you don't water a plant, we've got some plants at Life, and we constantly have to tell the staff to water them because we walk in and they hang like this. So you give them water, and what happens? They kind of revive again. Water your plants, okay? So what I'm saying in that, don't neglect. Don't neglect your relationships. Take time. Time cannot be replaced. So take time. You cannot pay for time. You cannot buy time. Just walk in time. I've spoken a bit about disrespect, but I just want to also tell you that Philip touched on that we need to walk in honesty, and we need to walk in obedience. Now, God's word is full of things we're supposed to be doing that we don't do. He says this is the way it is, and then we just kind of do a little detour. No, if God said it, that's it. You believe it and you do it. And parents are there to tell their children, this is the way, walk in it according to the word of God. And as Philip said, my parents also, well, his parents warned him, I don't know, that till we got married with my parents. Because I grew up in a very strict home and a very constricted home. In my days, you weren't allowed to wear pants. You weren't allowed to wear makeup. You weren't allowed to go to a dance, you weren't allowed to go to church without a hat, all those things. Okay? So that's how I grew up. But the one thing I knew, always knew, and that we knew, is that our parents loved us. And when I went to this youth group, I felt I had a lot of friends, but I never had a boyfriend because the boys were my friends. You know, I used to love climbing trees and things like that, so the boys were my friends. So I never had a boyfriend. So I landed up in this youth group, and this guy was there, and he was very world-wise, but he was in the lineage of one of the biggest names in South Africa, according to the mission tradition. Yeah. Okay. And, of course, they all carried this. And he started, and I was showing interest in me, and of course me, and I thought, okay, well, maybe this is who God wants for me. But I always had this niggle in my heart. But I just, and in my home, unfortunately, parents talk to your children. Unfortunately, we couldn't talk about these things. So I just carried all this in my heart, and eventually Long story short, he took me to meet his parents. And that's where I woke up. And I'm going to be very real with you guys. Do a very real thing when he tried to rape me. Okay? And I was terrified. I was blown out of the water. And we went back to where we lived. And I just kept quiet about it. But in my mind, I just thought, now I'm ruined for life. I've got to marry this man, and I've just got to live with it. Suck it up and live with it. And that's what I did. Sucked it up, got married, and lived with it. And up to the day of standing in front of that altar, I almost, when they said, is there anybody, I almost put up my hand and said, yes, it's me, which I didn't do. I should have done it, but I didn't do it. And but there again, I walked in disobedience to my parents. I walked into disobedience to the Holy Spirit, just trying to stop me. But I was on a mission. Well, the one good thing, the one awesome thing was that Marissa and Milani were born out of the marriage. They were exposed to a lot of abuse, unfortunately. Marissa was very broken. She's the youngest, but she was so broken because of the abuse. And I just have these visions of her coming with this wooden spoon and trying to beat up on her dad, this little thing, 2-3 years old, and things like that. And it was just really troublesome. And I'm not going to give you all the gory detail, but one day when he pulled a gun on us, I tried to leave, and he pulled a gun on us. He found us in Joburg in a hotel room. But I called my brother. Fortunately, I could, and he came in. He saved the day, and that was it. That was the end. I walked out with 3 suitcases and 2 little girls. And I went to Nisner, and I started house-sitting. I got a teaching post again. I love teaching, and this is where I buried myself, in teaching and in music, because I loved music, and I was a music teacher and a great teacher. So I loved that. And I found a teaching post in a school for troubled girls in Nisner. And it was awesome. And I could be there for these girls. And my little girls and I, we didn't need much because we lived in furnished houses. So we'd house it. And when people come in, we'd move. And we would just go and live in another house. And God was so good to us. He was so good to me. And he brought such healing into my life. And eventually, when Philip and I got married, we had to deal with a lot of stuff. But you know what? God was faithful. And today I can just tell you guys that Marissa, she's just 2 years ago got her degree as a pastor. She's not working as a pastor, but she's starting an inner city church in New Kensington. And she's working for Whitaker House, the publishing company. Milani is happily married with two kids. Billy is now 17, and then little Ari in Idaho. And I've got an incredible relationship with my kids, and that's only through God. That's only because of the restoration God did in our lives. But you know, can I go on? You must stop me when it's ready. Okay. So, I think you're always going to have scars. Ladies, gentlemen, doesn't matter what you've gone through, you'll always have scars of hurts. But that wound doesn't need to stay open and festering all the time, because God brings healing. He cleans it out, and he brings healing. But it's what we do with it. Do we walk in bitterness, or do we come better out of what we learn? The stats on second divorces, some stats are it's higher, some stats it's lower. You know, I'm not interested in those stats. I just know that I don't want to be another statistic, because what God has done for me is just awesome. And when things really get rough and tough, and we just go back to the basics. What has God done? The road God has brought us. You don't have to go down the tubes. You don't have to go and become a drug addict to relieve that pain. You don't have to go and drink to relieve that pain. Just let the Lord deal with it. Let people around you help you and deal with it. And people around you, whoever you are, please don't judge. Just walk with people. See where they're really at. See their hurt. We work with broken kids. And I can tell you, they are busted and broken. They've seen stuff that you can't even dream of seeing. But God's not too small. He's big. He can heal that, and He brings restoration in their lives. But the one thing we've got to embrace is God's forgiveness. You've got to forgive yourself. You've got to forgive yourself. And if you cannot forgive yourself, you'll find it very hard to forgive others. And you know, sometimes forgiveness, and I'm going to be vulnerable and open with you, it's like a yo-yo. Today I feel good. I've forgiven. I'm there. Thank you, Lord. Tomorrow I think, ugh. And that thing comes back. Just put it aside. Give it to God again and again and again. Eventually it's like, oh, okay, you don't intimidate me anymore because forgiveness has stepped in. So work at it. Anything worthwhile, any relationship worthwhile, work at it. If it's worth something, work at it. Your children, work at it.
Maybe I can make just a little bit of an interjection there, because when we look at going through a gamut of emotions and all the various conflicts and the pains that are so deep that oftentimes to try to choke them out is going to be the hardest thing in the world. But nevertheless, the point is there's always somebody around. And I can look back at a couple of guys that when I came to them and I said, what do you want to hear from me? They said, we want you to deliver your heart. We want you to open up from the deepest part of your being. And I can say that there was this amazing acceptance, this amazing, I'm going to come with you, I'm going to take you, I'm not going to let you down, I'm not going to destroy you. Because so often, when somebody comes with all the deepest agony that comes into our hearts, the next thing you know becomes public knowledge. And that breaks a person's trust. But what's happened is that I was able to look at that and say that when Moraine and I came together, two guys came alongside of me and they said, Philip, get your heart prepared because there's a new thing that God wants to do within your life. So they kept that confidence. They took that. But at the same time, Moraine and I had to learn as soon as we got married that there was something that we needed to be able to share with each other and not become intimidated by what was going on in our hearts. And I just wanted to share that very briefly because it's important to set up a structure of communication. As she talked about earlier, about intensive fellowship. I mean, every couple has intense fellowship. Let's be honest about it. Let's be truthful about it. But let's learn how to do it and do it in the manner that brings honor to God. Sorry, go ahead.
Amen. just on that too, you know, the story of healing and reconciliation and what God, restoration, I love that word, is so awesome because not only did God restore us, He also restored my ex, because before he died in a mine accident, he actually recommitted his life to the Lord and got rid of all his alcohol abuse and all that stuff, and he remarried and apparently had a beautiful wife, and they really were happy. And you know what? I was happy for him. I was so happy that he could find that peace. And we've got to be happy for one another. And if your spouse, ex-spouse, if you're in a second relationship, moves on, be happy for them when they find the Lord and find their peace in the Lord. Because God's not just about restoring you. He's about restoring everybody.
Yeah.
And also, it was very hard for Melanie, because Melanie is a child who carries things very deep. And she resented her father. And I always had that scripture drilled into my head. Honor your mother and father. Doesn't matter what they do. Honor your mother and father. Doesn't matter what they do. And I tried to tell them, honor him. And It was funny because one day she came to me and she just said to me, "Mom, I'm ready to forgive my dad." And I said, "Okay, you write to me. We're living in the States. You write it." So she wrote him a letter, took the letter, and I mailed the letter. And a week after she wrote the letter, extending forgiveness and asking for forgiveness, he was killed. Whether he got the letter, I don't know. Can't tell you. But it released her because of that forgiveness. Guys, forgiveness is a big thing. The Lord wants to renew and restore.
Yes.
And everything is going to be new. When you go and read Revelation 21, I just want to read this and I'll bring it into perspective. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared." Everything here we're experiencing is going to disappear. Your pain is going to be gone. There won't be any more. And it says, "The sea was gone, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband." Guys, sorry, you're going to be part of the bride, okay? Sorry about that. We called sons of God in the Old Testament and everywhere, and we cool with that as ladies because we know we're included, so you're also included. Isn't that awesome? "I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them.'" Wow. "And they will be his people." Listen to this. God himself will be with them. And then it says, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things will be gone." So what you're going through now, find somebody and share it. Let God heal that wound, because there's something so awesome waiting for us. But you know, it also says if we can't forgive, God can't forgive us. And we cannot land in that situation.
There's a song that I want Morena to repeat it, because after we got married, just a kind of little backdrop to this, we got together in, well, we got married in Knysna and lived for a short while on Leisure Island, and then both of us got jobs in East London. But then it came time to find out, where do we go to church? Where's the right place to set up our fellowship life? And we started going around to different churches, but we heard about this one church where a former colleague of mine was the pastor. And my memory of this former colleague of mine was that he was one of these kind of like legalistic kind of a guys, you know. He was very much on the law, and thou shalt not this and thou shalt not that, and it was just a lot of rules and regulations. But I thought to myself, you know, for the sake of old time's sake, let's just go one Sunday to the church. So brave souls that we were, we got out of the house and went to the back of the church, which was in a school hall in East London, and we sat right at the back, and he was on the platform. The next thing you know, as we sat at the back there trying to hide behind everybody that was in front of us, I saw this man come off the platform, and I thought, oh boy, he's just going to come down to the front. No way. He came down and went right to the back to Morena and I, and he just said these words as he came back, "Philip, I just want you and Morena to know that you're most welcome here." And shortly thereafter, we took membership in that church, and on membership Sunday, we sang a song together, which I want my wife to repeat the words of that song right now, because I think it's applicable to everybody that sits in this place, and it's from Bill and Gloria Gaither, and it's called "Something Beautiful."
Okay, we're not going to sing, okay, so you don't need to worry. Okay, it just says, "Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. Think of yourself as a clear window that God shines his love through, okay? Mm-hmm. All of you, just think of yourself as a clear window. Dirty fingers go on the window, cracks come in the window, and then the real blow comes and it shatters that window. Now God's grace and love can't shine through you anymore. That's what you think. But now there's a pile of broken, thousands and thousands and thousands of pieces of broken glass. So it's up to God what he does. He can take that, melt it together and make a new window. Or he can let his glory shine on that. And where you affected the people that looked through the window, now you can affect millions of people with the light of and the glory of God that reflects off this brokenness and reflects everywhere. Have you ever seen broken glass lie on the floor and then the sun shines on it and it's like diamond shining everywhere? And that's what God can do with you. But it's up to him how he wants to restore. We can't tell God what to do or how to restore us. He's got to do it. The one thing we have to know is that we've got to change according to his plan. Because you know what, guys? We're part of a drama, end-time drama coming. And God is going to be the eternal judge, not us. And God's going to be the eternal judge who's going to decide, do you have eternal life or eternal damnation? Damnation. You helped me there. So we've got to decide now which one we want. That's our choice, okay? And God's the judge. But I just want to ask you today, the Lord is in control of your life, my life, and the lives of the people around you. If you've gone through brokenness, if you've gone through a broken relationship, if you've gone through a divorce, it's not the end of the world, because God is in the job of restoration. And he wants to restore you in your brokenness. He wants to take your hurt and make something beautiful out of it. And I'm going to read those words again of that song. It says, something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful out of my life.
Having said all that, I would like to kind of conclude by opening the floor. Maybe some of you have a couple of questions. I'm not going to try to be too theological or anything like that, but if you have any questions, feel free to ask those questions right now as we come near to the end of the service today. And trust that something has been spoken that will be a challenge, but will also bring hope to the anyone who's sitting here that is feeling the very deep pressure of all the brokenness of this life. So if you want to ask a question, feel free to do that right now. Well, thank you for sharing that, because that's the reality of this situation. The question for anybody that did not hear has everything to do with a leadership couple that are going through a divorce scenario, and it's not a pretty thing to have this kind of a scenario, and we want to try to put a perspective into that. And I think, you know, that thank you for praying, number one, because that's laying the groundwork for something to turn around. Interestingly enough, I ran into another ministry leadership couple not so long ago that it was, I don't think I've run into t- a mess as large as the one that I saw. And now all of a sudden there has been reconciliation that has come about between the husband and the wife. And so the point is, we sang about it, that there's a big God who is looking at the deepest pains that people are walking through. The main thing is to establish the trust and then to establish a referral where they can once again begin to reach out and begin to take the threads. If there is a thread of hope, we have to latch onto that. But anyway, let me just, that's number one. Leafy?
I agree with my husband, but I also
She's Leafy number one, by the way.
I also just want to say that, you know, it's choices, and you cannot force people into anything. All you can do is stand in love and support and pray. You cannot force. The minute you force the situation, it's just going to blow up and become even uglier. But we've got to believe that we serve a great, like we sang, God. And He's above all. There's no situation that He cannot turn around. And all you can do is support and love and talk and keep confidence. Keep their confidence, because that's what they need. And just walk with them and walk with them and walk with them. And one day, who knows where God's going to take that. So I hope that's going to help you. Just don't try and force, because it doesn't work.
One of the things that happened back in the 90s, Moraine and I started what we called Second Chances for Marriages kind of workshops, where we would take couples, and some of them in really, really bad situations. I mean, some of the most broken situations you would ever want to see. And we would take them off for a whole weekend and just work with them for a solid weekend, starting on a Friday afternoon and not coming back until Sunday afternoon, so that they could have a full work week and then have a chance to kind of go with each other and begin to iron out some of these things. Well, one of the things we would like to do in the future is to look at something like this going forward, where couples that are needing intensive therapy, it's the only way you can put it, they really need some intensive therapy, is to work into that kind of a scenario and begin to work through some of these principles to bring about. I can say that a lot of couples that we work with, when I go back to the States, which I just did, they're still together, thank God.
You know, the one thing I just want to tell you guys, Satan is a dirty fighter. I'm going to lay it straight out to you. He's a dirty fighter. And he's going to hit you where you least expect it. And if you're in any kind of leadership, he's got to go after you. Kill the leader and the troops are in disarray. So I want to also encourage you, pray for those in leadership. Pray for them. Guys, pray for them. Pray for your pastor. Pray for his wife. Pray for them. They need it. Because, as I said to you, if there's anything, any enemy just needs to pop off the leaders and everybody, you know what happens if there's no leader, okay? The people, and there's no vision, then the people perish, and that's what he's after. I just feel very, can I say this? I just feel the Lord's dropping something in my heart as we were sitting and sharing, that there's a lot of you who have had, well, not a lot of you, I don't know how many, the Lord didn't say how many, sorry. There are some of you who have had abusive fathers in your life. And you've just accepted that's just the way it is. This is men and women. And I want to say, if it's okay with you, afterwards, Philip and I can stay, and I'd really like to pray for you, because that's the one thing that I never experienced. I had, still have, a most amazing father. That's why when I landed up in the situation I did, it was like a nightmare. So I really want to ask you guys, men and women, if that's you, please come and we will just pray with you. If you want to share, you can. If you don't want to share, it's also cool. So I just have that on my heart.
Is there any other question? Yes. Did everybody hear that question? Did everybody hear that? What about the issue of being unequally yoked together? And I have seen that particular passage and have meditated upon it many, many times over. When it comes to marriage, it will become very evident very quickly when you get married outside of a bond between you and in the love of Christ. It will be a very real thing, and you need a miracle when it comes to that sort of a scenario to kind of bring the two together. And it's not that it's impossible, because we've got a situation, for instance, where my nephew got married to a Hindu girl, but somehow or other, over the years, she's kind of, am I right on this, Leafy? She's kind of moved more towards the things of Christ. And
yeah, but not total commitment. She's still one foot in the other world. So.
Yeah, but nevertheless, they've found a way that they can reconcile with each other in the midst of a kind of like a very kind of cross-purpose sort of a scenario. But I would like to kind of research that a little bit more, because the Bible does say light, what fellowship does light have with darkness? And so we have to find ways to kind of wed, you know, two streams of life. For instance, even inside of the church, there's the broad church, you know, in general. I remember a Baptist girl marrying a Catholic young man, and they came to me and asked me, how can we reconcile our differences when we get married? And it was a tough call, but I knew about a church not far from where they were living in the Pittsburgh area that kind of like had a very evangelical fervor, but was also, you know, kind of traditional at the same time. So I encouraged them to kind of become a part of that so that they could take her Baptist background and his Catholic background and kind of satisfy both of the urges that came from out of that background. And in doing that, they were able to work together in a powerful way and have a very successful marriage. Anyway, that's just some initial thoughts.
I just know that the Lord's very strong on when he says, do not be unequally yoked. And, you know, they just, our nephew just had their first little baby, and I already see the writing on the wall, because now, are we going to raise a Hindu or are we going to raise a Christian? It's already there. So, guys, be wise. Let God's wisdom rule your life.
I'm going to stop at that because I know it's time to finish. And I'm going to hand back to Amo. Thank you very much for your attention. We'll come back on more tonight.
Okay, let's stand. Thank you, Philip and Morena. So there's going to be more tonight. It's not going to be the same, so please come back tonight. I think thanks for your wisdom and thanks for your honesty and your vulnerability. I would love us to respond to what God in their lives, because they bring a gift to this church now at this very moment for us to be reconciled, yes, to people that we might have in a very bitter way just rejected and still left in, we just left them in unforgiveness because they hurt us. Okay, so maybe if you can close your eyes and ask God, is there somebody in this very moment that I must forgive? Is there somebody in this very moment, in the light of what Philip and Morena shared, that I must release from my bitterness, release from my rejection, and reconcile at least today in the Spirit, now, in this very moment. And Lord, Holy Spirit, we just ask that, Lord, that you come and soften hearts now in the name of Jesus, so that we can experience that life that flows from you, but also through relationship, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're highlighting names, Lord. Thank you that you're even reminding people of where they live, or their surnames, or just give them access to their Facebook profile so they can look them up and they can ask for forgiveness, or just to release them at least in the name of Jesus. So let's spend like 30 seconds just asking God about that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then I sense very strongly that God, there's so many of you, and I think Marina mentioned it, you can't forgive yourself. And you're trying to forgive other people, but God says you must forgive yourself. And there's a feel like heaven opening up today for you to receive that forgiveness for yourself. And then so if you can just remain behind and come forward for prayer and ministry, and we would love in this very moment, I feel it's a window of opportunity, a grace window opening up for you to receive that forgiveness. We would love for you to come forward and then bless you with that. And also people who had abusive fathers, like that word of knowledge from Arena. Okay. Thank you, Jesus, that you are amazing, God. And we honor you for not only working with the perfect people, but you're working with broken people like us. And you love us. Lord, and we just experience your love this morning, Lord. And thank you for just these years of ours, Lord, just sharing openly and so vulnerable. Lord, and we honor them for that, and we bless them, Lord, in the ministry and where we're going to them and 12 at Life, Lord. Thank you that this will be the start of something amazing, even in just in our relationship and the way that we minister to people that are broken. Thank you for your Holy Spirit's presence in this place. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So you're dismissed. See you at 12.